What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome, everybody, to The Psychologists Are In. I am Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Elmondson.
And this week, we are talking about Season 5, Episode 4, Chivalry Is Not Dead, But Someone Is, the episode where a murder investigation leads Sean and Gus to a seminar led by a con man. And today, we have our first guest of the season, one of our favorite writers, Mr. Andy Berman. We love you so much. We hope you enjoy this incredible episode. Andy, we're so excited to have you. You're just like our favorite. Well, one of our favorites. I don't want to upset anyone. So you're just, we love you so much. And it's always exciting. It's always exciting to get to have Andy.
I was like,
it says on the sheet, always excited to have Andy. Could you read it again? I sent you that stuff. Like, can you just
repeat it? Oh, wait, did I say it wrong?
Yeah, it said,
oh, you did write it in
always bold. Excited to have Andy, not just we're, excited to,
yeah. Oh, yeah, we are, hold on, we'll do this again. Okay, so Andy, we're so happy to see you. We love you. You're our favorite. I mean, one of them, I can't upset anybody else or whatever. We are just always so excited to have you.
Thank you.
That's definitely the really top natural. 20 that way.
Top 20, top
great.
20.
Okay, well, you put like 16 exclamation points. So I
did. How I was always right with exclamation points, as you remember.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Hey, hi.
Hey.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Andy. I was like, this episode is like, it just is something else. Like the whole, it's so sexy. And I mean, we had Jean Smart, who was just a goddess. Goddess. John Michael Higgins.
Did he have Higgins?
Not quite as sexy as Jean, but still.
No, Jean came to play.
I had forgotten the whole great Jean Smart and I can remember her characters and the whole Lassie interaction. I don't know how I forgot that.
I don't know how you forgot that either. I mean, that should be like on a reel.
Isn't that the Mr. Is it Mrs. Robinson shot?
Absolutely it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Which we'll get to, but so classic. I forgot that scene too, by the way. I forgot about that scene totally. Should we dive in? So we
say off the bat, I like this episode a lot more than our last several episodes because there's much more Lass yet. It's like back to the old Lasseter and her back working together and partners again.
I loved it too. Yeah.
Can I give backstory on this episode idea, or should I do that after you do a synopsis?
What episode are we talking about? We haven't said it.
Oh, I'll say that. We're talking about episode 4, Chivalry Is Not Dead, But Someone Is.
Or as I like to call it, Siobhan O'Hara Is Not Dead.
There you go.
But Someone Is.
Yes, there you go. I like it. He likes it.
The Lucky Irish throwback for those of you who missed that episode.
Yeah. Written by our heart, our joy, our fave. We just love you so much, Andy Berman.
And our hero.
Forgot this. By Jay Chandrasekhar.
Yes.
That he directed this episode.
Yes.
He did the podcast last season and he was a dream guest. Like he was so fun.
Yeah, he's a professional. He could be a professional with so many hats. And one of them could be as a podcaster.
Yeah.
But also he directed this.
He's such a big star and he's in so in demand. He took the time to still come back and talk to us about our little show.
But also let's keep in mind that he also directed the show in flip-flops.
He directed our show in flip-flops.
He was wearing sandals or flip-flops of some kind.
And we tried. Nothing could rattle him.
No, he's unrattleable.
In fact, he's the opposite, almost to the point where you're like, I would see Richard Coleman, the AD, sometimes. Like, he would be so chill. He'd be having so much fun. He'd be laughing. And he would just be like, let's just do it again because it'll be fun. And Richard would be like, the sun is setting.
The sun is setting too. Like,
the greatest line ever from Jay Chandrasekhar was that, was when Richard Coleman was hammering him about time, about the sun setting. I'm sure the shot is going to be Emmy Award winning, but, you know, we have to get, he's just, we need to do this. And I think that Richard was maybe getting pressure from upstairs. Like, it was really like, he was coming down hard on Jay. And I was like, oh my God, Jay's going to, and Jay just looked at Richard when he finished his whole speech and said, can you find out what's for lunch? I just thought, and I just saw like smoke coming out of Richard Coleman's ears, you know, basically. But yeah, because he was unflappable. He was unflappable.
Actually, one of my favorite things about Jay is I would see him on occasion the night before work at Joey's at the bar doing a shot list.
Oh, I thought you were doing shots.
Because so did
he
I.
Also, was very
doing
much
shots.
Sure shot. No, I think he was drinking wine. I don't remember what he was consuming at the moment, but he was drinking at the bar at Joey's. Our away from home and working on a shot list. I was like, that is a professional.
He also taught me the five ways that a director can get fired. And because there are five. And one of them is, you know, not coming in, not meeting your days and not coming in on time or on budget. And he said, that's the last one on the list.
What?
He was like, no one's ever not come back. Yeah. Number one is, do the actors like you?
Right.
Because if the actors don't like you, you're not coming back ever.
Right.
You know, doesn't matter how good the episode was, you will not be coming back. Did the episode come out good? You know, like, so, did the network like it? And then did the showrunner and, you know, did the producers like the episode? The line producers, like the last, like the pressure of time and all of that is what you feel is the most imminent thing on the plate, but it's the last thing you should be worrying about. So if you don't have what you need to get to make all those other things work, don't move on.
Right.
That's a genius directing tip right there.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. Andy, the director.
No, this was Jay. This is Jay Chandrasekhar's.
You're also a director.
Stage, you know, and he's probably going to get really angry for me misquoting it or, you know, not saying it the way that he would. But I just remember it's always been in my head.
I don't really think
you're right. He would not get angry.
He might give you some shit for it. But okay, let's go. Let's go. Pineapple Siding. I got this one.
I actually got it too, but you go ahead. Because I never get them, so I just got excited.
You mean the pineapple pizza?
Yes, the pineapple pizza, which I always think is a cheat. And we've used the pineapple on the pizza a couple of times.
There's another one.
Upside down pineapple cake. That was a cheat also, right? Because that's a direct.
Oh, yeah. We're calling it out. I see.
Yes, there'll be just an audible, which I'm like, I don't think that should count if they just say the word pineapple.
Well, there is also some cut up pineapple on the table behind Prescott when Eugenia is arrested. So there's a real pineapple, even though we call it out twice. Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Cold open. Are we ready? Get your memories ready. Get your stories ready. No, backstory. Give us the backstory, Andy. I want to hear how'd you come up with
this is idea? Fun. This is really fun because I remember when the writer's room was trying to find ideas, looking for, you know, inspiration worlds for the show. And I found an article about a gentleman's finishing school. And it's a school that gentlemen go to learn how to be, you know, I mean, you can imagine what it is. And Kelly Kolchek, who was always a champion supporter of many things that I would come up with, this was not one of them. And she was like, that doesn't exist. That sounds like a made up thing. It's not real. It's a hat on a hat. You know, we already have them being silly, and then you're going to put them in a gentleman's finishing school. It's not a real thing. And I brought up the article that I found. It was some sort of ABC affiliate, like expose on gentlemen's finishing schools. I'm like, it's a real thing. That was probably season two. And she was like, no. And I used to try to appeal to Henze and Steve and say, gentlemen's finishing school, like it's a real thing. And they used to goad me on just to make Kelly pissed off. So every season, they would bring it up. What about gentlemen's finishing school? And Kelly would say, stop it. Stop it already with gentlemen's finishing school. It's not happening. And it was always in the back of my mind that I was like, it would be just such a genius episode, gentlemen's finishing school. And the way that I won was to just have it be the Michael Higgins character who is a gentleman who's teaching other gentlemen how to pick up women and like do that and be in a gentlemanly like way. But it wasn't a school of like, where you go and you like balance the books on your head, like the way that like women do that. So I won in one
sense. Some party manners, Allison always calls that.
Yeah. So I had been hammering this idea very early on. This is season five, right? So it had to have been season two that I was trying to do gentlemen's finishing school. And I finally won when maybe we were out of certain amount of ideas. And it's much to Kelly's like chagrin and hatred, this thing crossed the board and became a thing. So for me, this was like a delicious, like, I loved the fact that I was going to get to do this episode. So this was pretty special.
And I feel like there was an aha involved with this when the script was thrown down on the table. That's it. Yes. In school, there must have been.
That's so funny. I love that we settled on a made up, like, just this guy being a gentleman, even though real schools do exist.
Real schools do exist, gentlemen's schools. But yeah.
Really wasn't having it.
So it's funny. I don't know if this is a fan favorite episode, but for me, it's like an Andy favorite episode. And I think there are things in this that are, it's weird. You know, sometimes I think, and you guys have been doing this now for how long, this podcast and going through all of these episodes and the show. And I wonder, like, do all of them stand up? Does this show stand the test of time? Like, is it, you know, because there's a whole new generation of fans and there's people that continue to watch it. And I always think there's no way that like it holds up. And then I honestly think there are things in this episode that more than hold up. They're so funny. I mean,
I have to say there are episodes that I completely forgot about. And as this one started, I remembered it. In fact, I have very vivid memories from this episode. Like, and we'll get to that. Like, sometimes I have to remember, I'll be like, oh, where? I don't remember this. Like, I don't remember where we were, whatever. But I watched the episode back and I'm like, this is so crazy that like, this isn't one of the ones that's talked about all the time. Because rewatching them, there are so many standouts. And maybe it's because I've seen so many of like the, what we call psychonic episodes, like a lot or whatever. So it's like going back and seeing, like, Andy, not only do all of the episodes hold up, I would go as far as to say it's like fine wine. Like, it's age. Like, when we, I don't know if it's the world and we're a little later, humor is different, things are different. But like, people watch this show now. Even I watch this show now, and I'm like, the show is. I'm sorry. I'm literally saying this about a show I'm on, but I was like, there's something else. It's something else. It's so special. Like, it's very rare. It's very rare. And it's even better. Like, I go back and I catch things that I'm like, we were doing, I mean, I say we, but like those boys, you guys, the writers, we were just doing really advanced shit that wasn't being done. I'm sorry.
I agree.
Yeah. And even the,
I'm going to go so far as to say, if this show were on the air now, there would be all those awards that we never got or even got, never got nominated for.
Why are we not rebooting this? One season. Can you imagine if we had like 8 episodes of what we would, the Peacock would explode.
Well, I also think maybe I guess this is just turning into a general conversation about the show, but I never get the chance to like have this conversation with you guys. I mean, I think part of it was like, I was always upset while we were doing it a little bit that the show was under the radar in a way, and that other shows were coming out that, you know, were doing better or whatever, but weren't doing what we were doing. And like, I think it's because of that. Like, the fact that, and maybe this is a credit to USA Network or whatever, but the things that we were getting away with on the show that would just have been so scrutinized and put through a mill that just never would have made it to air. I mean, I always credit like Steve and Steve's taste making, you know, and what he fought for, you know, in an editing room, or what he decided was like, this is the show, and continue to have that. Like, if we were under the umbrella of a major broadcast network at the time, we probably would not get to do that. They probably would have said, guys, you're off the rails. Guys, it's too much. Guys, tone it down. Guys, pull it back a bit. Like, that was just too much. There's a couple things I could point out in this episode where you just go, they would have been like, snip, snip, snip. Like, just, that's too great much for you guys. That just feels right. Like, and it just consistently, and it's in every scene from every actor. Like, because every actor felt like they were allowed to do that.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, you know, and part of it was like, you could think of those things in your brain and then let them come out. Because whereas if you were in a grind on a procedural show, on a regular network, it just would never occur to you. You'd be like, I got to behave. I got to do this. This is what it is. We've got to get this done. Like, it almost was like every scene was an opportunity to just unpack it and abuse it. You know, like, what can we mine out of this like scene? So it started on the page with like whatever the idea was. And then it always went to you guys. And it was like, what are they going to do with it? You know, it's like, and of course it starts with James and, you know, and Dulé, but you know, they're leading the charge with that. But then every actor had the opportunity, whatever you've got in your bag.
Yeah.
You can do.
It's such a good point. And as you were just saying that, I'm like, it's really interesting. And I would say some shows from the time we were on as well that we may have looked at and thought like, oh, why aren't we getting the praise or the, you know, the moment that that show might be getting, like, but I also think that in a weird way, it's like you're saying, because of that, like, I don't know if there's still a hunger for some of those shows the way that there is for Psych still. So I wonder what that is as well. Was it that we were this kind of culty under the radar? Like, it was like a secret, not a secret, but like a little society that was like, I don't know, it was like different than it was like some of the bigger shows at the time that everyone kind of knew about. And no one really, I'm not saying they're not popular now, but I don't know that, like, I don't know that they'd be making movies. Or maybe it's because we were USA that we, like, we have the support. Well, our USA regime is kind of gone, right? At Peacock now?
Yeah. I don't think there is a lot of, the original supporters and fans from.
Which is why it's harder to get, you know, some things made.
Yeah.
Than it is this part. But anyway, it's just an interesting thing to kind of think about. Like you saying that about how contain, you know, they were still in the container of network. They're still in the container. You're right. Like from Steve and all the way down, like there was some kind of, there was a freedom we all got to have that was like unheard of. I don't even know that it would be the same way now.
I totally agree.
Yeah. It's magic.
And it was almost like if you, you know, like I've been in enough like tone meetings now with directors and oftentimes the meeting is about how to keep the show on its rails, you know, like what it is that we do, the kinds of shots that we do, you know, always reminding the actors have a tendency to do this. Like if you were inside of that, not like, I don't know if you'd be insulted or whatever, but it's a lot of talking about like, well, you know, Maggie does this a lot in these scenes, like make sure we're watching that to like, make sure, you know, cause the network gets really, you know, thing if this gets, and these tone meetings, it's like the opposite. It was almost like, how do we encourage these directors to do whatever they want? You know, like, please, like to bring your A game. And by your A game, I mean, open the box. This is going to be different than other shows that you've worked on.
Right.
Like, let it all happen. And I've just, since then, I have just never been on a show that is even remotely like that. And I think when I rewatch this episode, it's covered in it. Maybe that was Jay Chandrasekhar too and all this, but it was just like, it's all there. Like it's off the rails in a lot of ways.
It is in the best way. Like in the best way. All right, let's go. I'm going to start.
Yeah, I got to say,
yeah,
the words on the page are so good and so clever. And you just gave us such, you gave all of us such beautiful stuff to just take the ball and run with it.
Well, that's nice of you to say, but the couple examples I brought up, which I'll get to them when I come, were like very actor related, like things that, you know, but anyway, go ahead.
All right, here, we'll start here. First thing I noticed, no flashback. There's no flashback to like an earlier time with the Liam and with the kids.
We couldn't get Corbin's wig flown up in time. He had brought it down. He had a bar mitzvah to go to and he was wearing it down in LA and he actually got so smashed at this bar mitzvah and he left it on the bar at the Universal
bar mitzvah.
At the bar mitzvah, it was at the Universal Sheraton. He left his wig on the bar there, the reception area.
So specific.
And
no way.
And he figured that out when he had landed in Vancouver. We were supposed to shoot the flashback. And he was like, I don't have my wig. We contacted Universal Sheraton. They eventually did find it. It was in the bottom. It was near an ice bucket that was like at the bottom of the back room.
I got to say, Cuban man who does not drink a lot.
Yeah.
Well, he did at this bar mitzvah, I'll tell you. And
well, that champagne bucket. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, he put his head in it. I guess at some point the thing would end up there.
Yep. And they sent over Jason Berger, our PA. They sent him over the writer's PA. They sent him over to the Sheraton Universal. He got eyes on it. He called. He said, "I have eyes on the wig. I'm holding the wig in my hand. I could maybe get an arrangement to get it on a flight, an American Airlines flight." Up there in time, but it is in no condition to be worn. like, this thing is gone through the ringer, and he sent a photo of it, and then we canceled the flashback for this
episode. Wow. So Corbin ruined the flashback because
This is just gold we are getting here today, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Yeah. It was gonna be a thing with Corbin and young Sean. He was teaching him how to be a gentleman. Like, it was back in sixth grade. He was gonna be asking a girl on his first date.
Oh,
and he was gonna be asking.
He was gonna be schooling him on this?
He was schooling him on.
Wow.
But we couldn't afford it anyway. So
elaborate. And well done.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember.
All right. Cold open. Because Corbin's
so good.
Champagne bucket. Mother's Day is just around the corner, and this year, give the gift of luxury. With Cozy Earth, you get all products made from responsibly sourced viscose from bamboo and a product with a purpose. Whether it's Cozy Earth sheets, pillowcases, pajamas, or towels, each product comes with a 10-year warranty. My favorite is the Cozy Earth bedding and how it's temperature regulating. I feel like I'm a little bit of a, like, if a sheet connoisseur is a thing, that's something I am. I sleep very warm. Very warm. So I love having materials and sheets that help cool me down. And I am not just saying this because I'm saying this ad right now. I am so in love with these sheets. I think they're my favorite that I've ever tried. And they really do keep you cool, but they're temperature regulating. So I think that if you sleep cold, they're going to have the same effect the other way. They, like, I don't know the technology. It's really amazing. Cozy Earth loungewear, on the other hand, offers optimal comfort while maintaining a flattering, elegant fit. Elevate your style and space with Cozy Earth's luxuriously simple designs crafted from only the best materials. Creating consistency within each collection allows their versatile yet minimalist styles to thrive in your closet and throughout your home. Cozy Earth offers premium bath products made from viscose from bamboo. They offer a plush collection as well as their new waffle collection. I love a waffle robe. Better experiences and superior quality. That's what Cozy Earth products have to offer you. I got their bamboo sheet set in white, and it easily has become, I already said this, my favorite sheet set I've ever had in my entire life. I'm not even kidding. I'm completely obsessed with these. They're soft, perfect for a hot sleeper like myself. And the fact that Oprah described the bedding as the softest ever sold me, I have to agree. It's just luxurious. Cozy Earth provided an exclusive offer for our listeners today, 35% off site-wide when you use the code PINEAPPLE. That's right. You get 35% off site-wide. That's so much when you use code PINEAPPLE.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fine looking gentlemen pick up drinks for themselves and their lovely dates. And after one sip, one of the men breaks into a massive cough attack. I was just like, oh, he has COVID, and falls off the balcony to his death. And then the ever so talented Gene Smart screams in horror.
I gotta say, the guy who falls looks like James Spader in every movie from the 80s.
Yes.
He had very sort of James Spader mop like hair.
It was like a less than zero, like it looked like the poster from Less Than Zero.
Yeah. Yes, it did. You know what? I actually thought it was a lot of blood for a psych episode. I mean, it was more than a drop, you know?
I was gonna say, I thought they used this, and by the way, that's our second fall to their death in a row.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think they used the same catch
before this.
Close Encounters?
Not even Close Encounters, our
Yeah. We just talked about this. Anyway.
The junior lawyer is thrown off a
Oh, that's right. Luckily, Sean and Gus show up at the crime scene. Close Encounters was funny. Luckily, Sean and Gus show up at the crime scene that just so happens to be a big swanky mansion. And after a quick briefing, yes, Tim.
I got to point out, O'Hara's in a very sharp pinstripe suit with just the faintest pink blush top. So that means Pepto drink, everybody, for those of you playing along at home.
That's right. So we're at a swanky mansion. After a quick briefing, Lasseter claims that it wasn't a...
murder.
Love it. You're really, really in it and paying attention. And I love it. But Sean thinks otherwise, as per usual. Sean notices that Lance's ankles and arms were not broken, causing him to think that he didn't try to brace his fall and was therefore dead before his body touched the ground. Then Lassie and Jules break up to get witness statements of, and of course, Jules takes the Ken dolls, leaving the creepy old ladies for Lassiter.
The look you give me when I say, who do you want, the creepy old ladies or the Ken dolls? And you, the duh or the no doy look on your face when you say the Ken dolls is just hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Andy. Back at the SBPD, Chief Vic confirms that the dead man was in fact dead before his fall, meaning Sean was right and Lassie was yet again wrong. So Henry decides to put Sean and Gus up against Lassie and Jules for a friendly competition that Lassie thinks he's already won. Yes.
I need to point out, Vic is not in a popped Vic.
I think the pop Vic days might be over.
I think so. This is like three in a row. There's no pop to Karen.
Yeah. There's no, yeah.
But I will point out that you and I are both back in Bring Out Your Baby Blues Blue.
Oh, Bring Out Your Baby Blues Blue. Different from Ocean Eyes Blue. I like this.
It's a new one. I invented a new one today.
I love a new one. We needed a new one because there are lots of shades of blue.
Yeah. This is, we're both in different shades, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is in the category of Bring Out Those Baby Blues Blue.
Yeah. They were catching on by this season that we wanted our, you know, our eyes to pop in every scene. Okay. So the gang all head to Lance's bachelor pad to further investigate and walk in on Sean attempting to work out. I remember this day. Remember when James was hanging upside down for a very long time?
In Chinatown, wasn't it?
Yes, it was an apartment in Chinatown. Exactly. See, I'm like you. I have very, like, I know exactly where things were. I remember the car thing. Yeah, Andy.
Well, I was going to say this must be one of the last times that James would be willing to be hung upside down, right? No water, no hanging upside down, no wires.
This had to be it.
This had to be it.
Wait, no wires?
No wires.
Oh, no wires. Yeah. No, like harness.
No harness. Upside downs and no water.
No. Wow. Yeah. That's his, it's like a reverse writer. It's not things you want. It's things you don't want.
That's right.
Right. Sean spies a book called Killing with Class by Clive Prescott, played by John Michael Higgins, with a personal note from Clive. It turns out Lance was one of Clive's most promising students in his Art of Gentlemanly Seduction class, and Clive just so happened to be at the party.
Which it's a very funny insider insight here, as Sean has come up with his theory that the murdered guy is a gigolo.
Oh, yeah.
Is that he's got a Super Troopers pinball machine in his bedroom.
Yeah.
Super Troopers, written and directed by our dear friend.
And directed by J. Chandrasekhar. I did not even spot that, and I love that. Cut to Clive Prescott giving a lecture on how to surround yourself with sophistication and then belittling both Sean and Gus. Back at the SBPD, Jillian Tucker, Jean Smart. Can we talk about her for a sec?
Jean Smart, who's won like every award in television there is right now for her show Hacks.
Also, yeah, a goddess.
But by the way, she was already like, that's another level of where she's like hit. But at the time she did the show, it was already Jean Smart, like, yeah. Amy Warnos, Jean Smart. Like, I mean, she had turned in performances that were like, that was such a get. I mean, that was so exciting. I don't know what was happening with her that week that she said yes to that offer. But
no.
She was a little side career separation with Jean, also a Seattle native, like myself. Jean was on heavily recurring on 24 when I did my two episodes of 24.
Wow. Okay.
I love that. I didn't know that. I'm obsessed with her. It was such a huge get when we got her at the time. Also, like, John Michael Higgins was very fun. Not, you know, I mean, I was starstruck over Jean Smart, but I was also like, this is a very, this is a fancy episode.
It is.
Okay. Cut to Clive Prescott giving a lecture on how to surround yourself with the we already did that. Back at the SBPD, Jillian Tucker, whose husband recently committed suicide and was recently dating Lance at the time of his death, arrives for questioning.
The time of his death or the time of his murder?
Well, we don't know for sure yet, do we? Lassiter and Juliet question Jillian. Oh, no, we do. Lassiter and Juliet question Jillian, and Lassie even asks if she remembers him and if she's trying to seduce him. Let's talk about this scene for a second. She retorts back, she remembers a younger man with less salt and pepper, and of course, not.
Which is so funny, Andy.
To this seducing allegation.
Great, such a great, well-written scene.
and well directed. It's very, very cool. Lasseter thinks Jillian killed both her husband and Lance, and his theory is further validated when they follow Jillian on a date with Clive Prescott. Then Gus and Sean
say the "Miss Prescott, are you trying to seduce me?" line. So we did the iconic shot of through the legs, "Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me."
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which I have to say, if I put a little feather in my own cap, I pitched that to Jay.
Really?
And very sheepishly, it was like, because I'm like, I didn't dare want to like suggest an idea to Jane. It's like, you know what, you could like do the, you know, the Mrs. Robinson graduate shot. And he, and I said, ah, that's probably a stupid idea. He's like, no, I think it's hilarious. And he did it. And I was just beside myself with joy.
He said that if he wasn't at the Sutton bar the night before drinking wine, making his shot list, he might have thought of it, but he didn't. So he did.
There it is. Lasseter thinks Jillian. Oh, wait, we did this. Hold on. Gus and Soup Can Sam join in on their stakeout. Back at the fancy mansion, it's revealed that Jillian brought her own special bottle of liquor that
I did notice rang. Something, sorry, in the stakeout.
Yeah. Yeah.
I noticed a little something. So Lasseter just left this scene with Gene Smart. He's in no tie, college open, a lot of Sternbusch. I think Lasseter was feeling a little sexy that day and maybe try to. Something that Jean did something to him.
Yeah, she brought it out in you, and yeah.
And we're seeing another side of Lassie sort of on the prowl a little bit.
Oh, I love that. That's a good catch.
Soup Cam Sam couldn't have been a show first, could it?
Oh, so, I feel like it might be a show first. I don't think we've heard Soup Cam Sam yet.
No. Show first, everybody.
Show first. Oh, man. Sorry, we didn't warn any of you.
You should have. Well, that's why it was a question. That's why. I hope y'all didn't crash your cars and or drop the weights on anybody.
Right.
Or your feet.
Yeah. Or the vacuum.
Or you're jogging.
Right. Got it. Good.
Run into a light pole.
Good.
For the massive show first of the very debut of Soup Cam Sam.
Also, you make a sound in the beginning of this episode when you see James upside down. We just went over that for a second. Hold on. I want to go back. That's a bit hoity-hoity-hoity-hoity.
Oh, please enlighten me.
There's just a weird sound that comes out of your mouth. And he says, please don't ever make that sound again. Andy, am I right?
I believe you are correct. Yes.
At the top of that scene. And as I was listening, I was like, what was that? What was this little hoity hoity moment? I actually don't know what the sound was. But anyway, okay. Henry then calls Sean after discovering that Prescott's most recent liaison was an extremely wealthy woman who went on vacation with Prescott in South America and mysteriously never returned with him. Then Sean and Gus find Jillian and Prescott at the bank and interrupt a financial transaction the two appear to be making. Sean charms Jillian and arranges a double date, Jillian being Sean's date and Jillian's friend Eugenia, played by Lee Garlington.
Lee Garlington, amazing.
Also,
we missed a big scene when the boys go to Prescott's office.
Oh,
when he first questions them, and gives them the thank you note.
Oh yeah,
and the thank you note had a wax seal on it, which I thought that was an amazing detail. Yeah. And I wonder if it was written in.
I don't remember if it was.
It feels like something you would have written in. It feels like an Andy detail.
I wish I did remember, and I wish I could take credit for it, and I'm not even sure now. I don't know if it was something that came up in a production meeting and like, do you want a wax seal for it? I don't remember. But also the way he does, you know, in doing the wax seal was real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have to go back to a really bizarre psychic moment in this, or I'm not sure what category it would fall into. But in that same scene, I can remember, he gives a definition of a word. I can remember what the word is, but John McLaggan's cites Webster. And Sean's as the retort of, I don't know what Emmanuel Lewis has to do with what Emmanuel Lewis has to do with dating.
Yeah.
I had a moment with this where our life on set got really weird.
Yeah.
Weirder.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Lewis was in Vancouver and Dulé knows Emmanuel. And Dulé brought him to either a mafia or a poker game.
Oh, that's right. I think it was a poker game. It was early days. It was like.
So here's where it must have been season one, because here's where it gets weird. I give everybody a ride home. And it gets very weird. So there were multiple people in the car. Now, it was season one, must be, because I had my Volvo SUV that drove up there. And it was packed in, so there was only one seat left, which was the middle of the back seat for Mr. Webster.
Mm-hmm.
And buckled into the middle of the back seat was Lily's car seat.
Oh my God.
So Emmanuel had to climb in the middle in the car seat.
Oh my God.
No.
Which was just one of the strangest moments of my life.
And I love that you just shared it. That's hilarious. And is there a photo?
I was just going to say, if you had a photo, that would be really creepy and weird if you had been taking photos that also probably would not have been.
Tell me you have a photo. That's a great story. That's a great story.
I think I was driving. Dulé was probably there because I think he would have driven with us since he brought him.
This is also probably like pre-Uber.
I think they were probably staying at the Opus.
Also, do I, not to backtrack, but do I owe Ashley Hamilton an apology?
I don't think so.
Such a good funny joke.
It seemed a little pointedly like not nice, but
people got to laugh. People got to be able to laugh, even though it is a nice dig, but it's funny. It's funny. Yeah. There's no way around it. It's brilliant. I love that you can issue a statement if you want. It's just not necessary.
I just was thinking about that today, going like, all these, like, I don't have anything against Ashley Hamilton. there's no gripe.
And he knows that.
Maybe next time he did.
So you're making the joke, and it's very funny. So it's okay. It's
I was ahead of my time. It was a Nepo baby joke, and I was way ahead of my time.
Way ahead of your time.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Nepo joke. See, we need a new psych season to like update pop culture. Like we need some updated references that we, even if we just added into the next movie or whatever, like I feel like there's a lot of good juice over the last few years. We could, yeah.
You're 100% right. Like there's a whole new batch of crazy pop culture things that have come up since then that we could have had a lot of fun with.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to vote for a reboot. Anyway.
You have to reboot the show.
Yeah.
And at some point, you used one of my favorite phrases from film and TV. I think Sean refers to, have we already gone through the date?
No, we're at the date. We're at the date. At the date, Prescott crashes the party by sending over a bottle of wine because Sean clearly upset his manhood earlier. 1 point, Sean. Unfortunately, Prescott then joins the double date. Point, Prescott.
Ooh. By the way, this is one of those things that I realized when watching it, the actor moments of, because I know it was in the script, the standing up and then they all stand up and James doesn't understand what's going on. Like the way he played that, like elevated that into just a whole, the callback to it. I'm sorry, I just don't understand why are we the up, the down? Like he didn't get it. I just loved him. Like that felt like something that in a network TV show would have been just snipped out. Like that whole, so much of this date, all those little things,
yes,
it's been gone. And it just felt fresh to me when I was watching it. Like I miss seeing that on TV, that kind of freedom and that kind of like bits happening within a scene. Everyone just been like, the point of the scene is he sits down at the table, they make a double date, like you find out the clue information and it's get out
poison.
Of there. Like,
this
is what, it would not be about all of these various like crazy little nuanced stuff that
make the show, make it. I mean, it's so true. It's so funny. No, I thought the scene, there was like a refined humor in this. I mean, naturally with the subject, you know, with it being like a gentleman's thing, but like it even felt that way. James has a couple of throwaways that were very like, it was like, I was listening to him. I'm like, I kept thinking, who does he sound like? And not that like this person has the greatest reputation in the world, but very like Chevy Chase. Like these like very like mumbly kind of like, you know, he'd say the line and then mumble something immediately. And I mean, that's something he always did. But in this episode in particular, it's like everything's on fire.
By the way, I mean, I guess like as far as like checking, but I got Gene Smart to say like that line in the beginning when the dead guy says patience is a virtue. And she said, so are broad shoulders. And I don't want to wait for him. I mean, I'm not patting myself on the back about the line, but I was just like watching it going, Gene Smart, like just got that.
Line. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good.
Leaned into it.
That's what I mean.
There's a great psychic premonition in the date scene, the double date scene.
I think we're there.
When she presents him with the cufflinks that he thinks are earrings.
So he says,
this is awkward because I don't wear earrings. I mean, I did back in the day, but three. But that's when it goes Tears for Fears. Course reference to our dear friend Kurt Smith, who we eventually got on the show.
Yeah.
And in the movies.
Yep.
And by the way, so that I don't take credit for. That was not in the script, obviously. And that had been like James hammering you know, Tears for Fears into everybody's heads.
Yeah.
You know,
beforehand. Brilliant. Yep. Brilliant. Okay. Shortly after, the date then relocates to the psych office with pineapple pizza, and Gus is peeved that his date has no interest in him, not even his magic head. Oh, when Dulay, Gus, I'll say, is in like Gus seduction mode, there's nothing funny. I mean, it's like the music, everything. He's absolute, like he's perplexed and then makes it like his mission. And then of course we have the end of the episode, but anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. But oh, this how, is so funny.
How James ate the slice of pizza that he folded. He talks about getting the proper crease in the fold of the pizza.
Yeah.
And he eats it like a total, I can't even describe it. Like he eats it forward. He doesn't turn to the side. He just goes straight in.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was such a bizarre but funny beat that he chose to do that
way. By the way, they had chemistry, right? James and Gene Smart. And like, you know, it was
fantastic kind of, chemistry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
the chemistry and just like chemistry.
They were like adore. They were so good together. It was very on. Okay. That's where the date gets interrupted again, this time by Lassiter and Juliet, who insists that Jillian is the killer. Sean and Gus vehemently disagree, saying Prescott is clearly the murderer. Suddenly, Sean realizes he is poisoned and says that he thinks it was Prescott who has been behind this whole thing. At the hospital, Sean found out he was indeed poisoned, but barely.
But barely.
This
that becomes a runner.
Had me in stitches.
This was a hilarious runner.
In fact, it turns out he's going to be completely fine. Just after Gus confesses to sleeping with one of his crushes in high school. Back at the SBPD, Sean and Juliet question.
By the way, can we talk about Corbin and James and the Papa? Papa, come closer. Yeah. Oh. That was really funny.
It's so, what we used to always say on set, we'd laugh and say, this is so stupid. But what we were really saying is like, this is crazy that we're allowed to do this shit. Like, it's so good. Yep. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I feel like sometimes it's easier to focus on other people and their needs. Sometimes it makes it easier so we don't have to deal with ourselves and have to face certain things. I don't know if it's possible, but sometimes I'm not very good at balancing those two things. It is so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you might need for yourself, or you might be avoiding it. But when we spend all of our time giving, it can leave us feeling stretched thin and burned out. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Because if you think about it, at the end of the day, you can't really be good for somebody else unless you've filled your own tank first. I feel like I talk about this on here a lot, that I feel like therapy is great because it just helps you strengthen and kind of fortify your relationship with yourself. Because I feel like the better you know yourself, the better you'll be at taking care of yourself, which will make you much better if you have to take care of or be there for somebody else. I think it's obviously the most important relationship you'll ever have. So that can't be bad, right? So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. It's very easy to sign up, you guys. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's that easy. Find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/pineapple today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/pineapple. The limit does not exist. The perfect diet doesn't either. So Ritual is here to help fill the gaps. They know it's basically impossible to get all the nutrients you need from your diet 100% of the time. So they made a multivitamin that helps you focus on what's important, like filling key nutrient gaps to support foundational health. I love Ritual. I take Ritual. I mean, honestly, I think the biggest tell is just that I feel better. So overall, I also love that I know and can read all the ingredients and all those things, but I genuinely feel better taking them. A clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. With 9 key nutrients in 2 capsules per day, their unique beadlet and oil is even patented. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is one of the few women's multis that's USP verified, meaning what's on the label is what is in the formula. It's also soy-free, gluten-free, vegan-friendly, and formulated without GMOs. A minty essence in every bottle keeps things fresh and helps make
taking your multis every day actually enjoyable. Instead of striving for perfect health, aim for supporting foundational health. Great news, Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/pineapple to start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 plus to your subscription today.
In the hospital, when Sean's saying, I've been poisoned, I see a light, I feel I should go to it. No, this is back. Sorry, we're in the SPPD. No, we're in the psych coffin.
Yeah.
And he says, he says to God, take care of my my Great Dane named Lothar.
Oh.
Because you don't have a Great Dane. He's get a Great Dane named Lothar. Of course, this was our dear friend Andy Berman loves his Great Danes.
Yes.
So that was a little insider insight. Shout out to Andy's favorite breed of dog.
That's right. If it was me, it was always a Great Dane. If it was Rodé, it was always pugs for some reason. Those were
pugs. And then we had like the Labradoodle sightings occasionally. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And there's like one line in the episode that Ethan Sandler does. I remember where we talk about pugs and we're just like, I just want to like put them in my mouth.
Anyway. By the way, that's another call out to Steve Franks, Labradoodle. Like that made me like fall in love with Steve Franks. That was like, it's driving and it's in the middle of the scene for absolutely no other reason. They're in a car scene and he looks at the window and goes, Labradoodle.
Yeah. It's so cute. And it's like in a moment when he's literally like putting Gus through hell.
Yeah. Like, but it's just like a kid who gets excited because they spotted a Labradoodle. And I bet you that was something with Steve and one of his kids or something. But anyway, that was really funny to me, that episode.
Really great.
Guess who
Mabel's best friend is?
Who?
Milo the Labradoodle, who lives next door.
More psych degrees of separation.
Bringing it all around.
Okay, we are back at the SBPD. Sean and Juliet question Prescott, but right in the middle, Lassiter tells Prescott he is free to go as they have no substantial evidence against him and can no longer detain him. That's when we learn that Henry took a course from Prescott and was invited to leave. I love that for just a second, he gets me with his Lady Chatterley. It's so good. And I'm like, he really does understand women. Again, Andy, you just like, you don't miss it. You don't miss anything. There's an opportunity. Well,
But he teed it up, Maggie, and you knocked it out of the park with this whole.
Yep.
Thanks.
The whole Lady Totally Lover thing.
I loved it. Loved it. Sean and Gus disrupt Prescott's next seminar, accusing him of being a
murderer.
Best one yet. Prescott makes excuses, but in the end, he sincerely declares his love for Jillian. This was so sweet. Privately, he tells Sean and Gus that Eugenia is practically penniless, and Jillian is her only caretaker. That's when Sean finally puts it all together. Lance's friend was dating Eugenia. He broke up with her when he realized she had no money and poisoned Lance to get to Jillian. They go to find Gabe, but instead find him dead in the sauna. So funny. So funny. Sean then comes up with another theory. All of the victims were lovers of Jillian's, leading Sean to believe that Eugenia, yes.
There's a moment in the gym where you and I arrived to the gym. We're looking for a guy who owns up.
Yeah.
And the guy, I said, where's so-and-so? And he goes, he's over there. And I hurdle the guy on the bench press.
Yeah. Yes.
Which I'm really surprised. This is a moment where you would have said, Tim, stop. What are you doing?
I did. Don't do it again. I did. I would have said, Tim, are you out of your damn mind? Like, here we go again. What are you doing? And you would be like, no, I got it. No.
I got it.
I'm going to wrap you in bubble wrap. Wait, have we done the bit where we're in the car? Do you remember?
No, not yet.
Okay, great. Okay, good. Okay, all the victims were lovers of Jillian's, leading to Sean to believe Eugenia killed them out of jealousy with the perfect old person murder weapon, mothballs.
Well, this was the naphthalene thing.
Which is another moment. Like, there's so many of these. Like, it's just like I was sort of calling it the whack-a-mole, the up and down, the seating, or like whatever. But like, this is like, this goes on between all of us for just way too long in the best way.
The best way. Naphthalene. It's naphthalene.
And we didn't do it that often. Andy, I feel like some of these, like, these gold, they tend to be in your episodes. These like, what? And I believe that was also scripted. Like, a lot of times these little moments sometimes come out of like, choreography or something, you know. I'm pretty sure I remember reading the page
that had like at least several of them.
I should have prepared more for this.
Yeah, where are you at? No, I'm kidding. Anyway, okay. Unfortunately, being met by traffic, Sean and Gus run out of the car to save Prescott, leaving Lassie and Jules stuck on a hill. Do you remember this, Tim?
I do, actually.
Remember how pissed I was that I was like, you're going to do it? You're going to drive? Like, I was...
I did drive it? I don't remember.
You were driving.
You were definitely driving. And I don't think you did, like, the wheels turning bit, but you did... You, like, did the turn up the hill.
Did jump up the curb? Okay, it's coming.
I wasn't mad at you, but I was more just like... I was a little nervous. I was a little nervous about it. I'm not going to lie.
Honestly, so. You'd see me drive.
Correct. Okay, so just as Prescott is about to drink a poisoned cup of tea, Sean and Gus interrupt and save him. Sean makes the claim that Eugenia is the murderer lesbian who was in love with Jillian. And after admitting to the murders, Eugenia is arrested and Prescott is off on his honeymoon with Jillian. As a kind gesture for his efforts, Prescott leaves Sean in charge of his class. Then we watch as Gus speaks with Eugenia and Jay. Okay, so the bit with Sean in the class being like, I hope I'm adopted or whatever exactly he says. This is a very, very funny. I thought it was a very funny moment.
There was a surprise miss that was almost a throwback in the tea house scene.
What?
Dulé says to, or Gus says to Sean, did you see him? Or did you see that? And Sean goes, the manager's hair.
Oh.
Which was followed by, nobody said, it's horrible.
Right. Right.
That's really funny. Maybe that got cut. By the way, the original concept for that scene, which I was told we just could not afford to do it, was the slowest paddle boat chase ever. It was going to be them. They were having tea in these little boats, and it was like a pond area, which was at that place. And we were going to do like them slowly trying to get to the tea in paddle boats. And then I was told we just couldn't. So it just ended them rushing and going, don't touch that tea. It was that's kind of a bummer, but it was going to be a whole big elaborate thing.
That's funny. That's a funny.
Isn't it the Sequoia Tea House in Stanley Park?
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And then there's also a very inside joke there at the end of, because that scene had a little bit of a wah, wah, you know, they rush in and it's just don't touch that tea. And then they just confront her and then you come in and arrest and it all just gets wrapped up. I mean, that was all just budget and money.
Yeah.
And there's the line that's in there at the end when James goes, hurry up and arrest her before she kills everybody in this place. And then he just goes, basically to say, I can't sell this line. Like there's just no way to make the stakes out of this thing.
That's very funny.
It's just a woman who's drinking tea and she's not going to kill anybody. That's funny to me. That was an inside joke.
That is good. That's good insight, psychos. And also funny. I did think it was a very, very swift wrap up.
Yes.
It was like, okay. Oh, and she's out of here. Okay. Okay. Gus speaks with Eugenia in jail at questioning why she's not interested in him. She asks if he'd feel better if she tried to kill him too. Then she gives him advice on meeting a nice girl to focus on and never coming back to jail again. Yay! Wait, we have fan questions too. I also loved the disgust me thing that.
You disturbed me.
You disturbed me. Sorry.
Oh my God. Yes.
I cannot believe we passed over that.
Well, I wasn't looking at my notes, but I just thought of it and I was like, wait, how did I not say something? That was like such a funny little Juliet and Lassiter.
The soft, supple skin of a man buck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Disturb me. Your take on this case disturbs me. You disturb me.
You said that twice. Yep.
You said that. Yep.
And this is one of my favorite last O'Hare exchanges. I can't believe we didn't talk about it.
Same. 100% same. Okay, some fan questions. Woo, these are fun. Best dating advice you've ever received?
Oh, that's easy. Be attractive. It went in one ear and out the other, but they said that is the key to the whole thing. Be attractive.
I don't think always we're going to top that. I don't think we're going to
be attractive.
Yeah.
Be attractive.
ATTRAAC. Okay. Tim, what's yours?
I can't think of any dating advice I've ever gotten. I'm sure I have it.
I think most people at this point in my life would say, just don't. All right. What would your alter ego name be, like Soup Can Sam? And what kind of costume? I don't know.
That's tough.
It is tough.
Like if we're trying like an incognito name on the show?
Yeah.
Or half disguise? Would be very good. I guess it would be JP Patches, who, for those of you from Seattle or the Seattle area, grew up watching JP Patches, who was a local TV clown. He had these big fake plastic ears would go on.
Which would already go
over my already large Tim Amundsen ears.
I don't know why this is making me laugh so hard. You're like, I don't really have one. JP Patches.
JP Patches, you know the full name. Born in outside of Seattle, but not where I was born, but still has the
whole backstory.
And the advice would be don't wear the JP Patches ears on a date.
Oh, boom, there it is. Okay. Who has the best and worst manners in the cast?
Ooh. Well, inadvertently, the worst manners was because it was all meant well. But Mel Damsky, our director, producing director, would always have dried fruit or nuts in a Ziploc bag that was like a home bag, something that he would make. And he would eat them. That's how he would nourish himself, keep his energy going during the shoot. And he would always generously offer those nuts and dried fruit snacks from his bag to other people. But you needed to be sitting next to him to know that the hand goes into the mouth, the hand goes back into the bag, goes into the mouth, goes back into the bag, as one would, because they're your nuts.
They are your nuts.
They are your nuts.
Not to be confused with Berman's nuts.
Not to be confused with Berman's nuts. They're your nuts, but then maybe don't offer them. Don't be so generous, because everyone that I saw go and accept those nuts was getting a piece of something that was...
You know what? You know what I'm hearing? You need to be a little more discreet with your nuts.
You do need to be a little more selfish with your nuts.
Be a little more selfish.
Don't be generous with your
selfish.
Nuts.
Be selfish. Yeah. Be discreet. Hide your nuts.
Hide your nuts. Don't flaunt your nuts.
Also, nuts.
That's also great dating advice, by the way, too. Don't flaunt your nuts. Don't do it.
Also, yeah. Don't put all your nuts on the table.
You want to be careful with who you're offering your nuts to be handled by. Yes.
Oh, it's good, you guys.
Don't wrap your nuts in a Ziploc bag and then offer them to people. It's creepy.
It's not going to work out for you, most likely. But Berman's nuts always work out. And you know, you're very generous with your nuts.
I'm generous with the nut recipe, for sure. I wanted it to catch on. I wanted everyone in America and also in Sweden to be eating Berman's nuts.
Yeah, well, they are.
God knows I love eating your nuts, Andy.
Oh, man.
Well, I appreciate that more than you know. There's no compliment you could give me better than to eat my Berman's nuts.
Look, we are two men of a certain age with lots of silver in hair. Now, I think we can admit that I'm comfortable admitting how much I enjoy eating Berman's nuts.
And I'm so comfortable having them eaten, which I wasn't always.
I was
a little more shy about that. I was a little less, I was more self-conscious. I'm not self-conscious about it anymore.
I was a little surprised. I was a little surprised at how much I liked Berman's nuts.
See that?
Yeah.
Because at first glance, you're like, that's not for me. That's what I'm missing. And then people would encourage you, Maggie, try them. Just try Berman's nuts.
Well, hang on.
And I appreciate that backhanded compliment that in the end.
The Berman's nuts we're talking about when they were first introduced a few years ago, or a little different than the Berman's nuts now.
they look a little different. That's true. But they taste the same.
Yeah, they were sweeter than I imagined.
That's the best compliment
I
could have ever gotten.
Yeah, I like the saltiness.
It's actually a nice blend of both. Yeah. But the sweet was a surprise.
The sweet was a surprise because you look at it and you're like, do you like sour things?
You're like, it's going to be savory, obviously.
There's a meat to the nut, you know what I mean? There's a little bit of meat to it.
Yeah, you know, you don't really need anything else with it. It will satisfy you for the rest of the afternoon.
It's true.
And it will keep you going.
God, I love us. What's your favorite pickup line?
Have you tried my...
Would you like some Berman's nuts?
Can I offer you some Berman's nuts?
Can I offer you my nuts?
I would just say I always prefer to let my actions speak louder than words.
Good. Words are words.
This is such a foreign concept to me, the whole idea of a pickup line. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's in me.
Good. Okay, Andy, that's okay. Pickup lines are...
Yeah. I don't think any of it's ever worked.
This is specific to Andy. This literally says, Andy, have you ever taken a course on gentlemanly behavior?
I've never taken an official course because according to Kelly Kolchak, they don't exist. This is a figment. It's like, that's not a real thing. A course on gentlemanly behavior. But in research for the episode, I certainly dabbled in what it is to be a gentleman.
Oh, you are a gentleman. I feel like both of you are such gentlemen.
Oh,
thank you. I mean, Andy, you certainly needed the course.
I needed the course, right?
No, you need no course.
No.
Neither one of you. Neither one of you.
I believe that chivalry is not dead, by the way, if we're going to make a statement about it. I do believe that there is a place, even in this culture and in this new thing, that like things that are old school, like my wife appreciates if I open the door.
Yes.
Kind of things. Or, I don't do the formal pull out the chair very often, that kind of thing. But like, doing things that I grew up as a kid, like my parents sort of teach you mannery things, I think there's still a place for that with women.
I agree, and I love it too. And it's just if you're not into it, that's fine. But I am, and I still love it, and I appreciate it. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of, I'm with you, Andy. I like it. Chivalry is not dead.
I very specifically remember my mom telling me, open the door for your mother. Hold the door open for your mother.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as like giving up a seat on the subway for a pregnant woman. Like all that stuff. It's like, why? If everyone's equal and all the stuff and like it doesn't, like I don't need you to open a door for me. Like all that. But it's like, it just feels good sometimes. Like I think people like it.
They do. I do. And I appreciate that you still...
So let's do that in 2023.
More chivalry.
More chivalry, shall we?
Thank you so much, Andy, for coming on the podcast and always making us laugh. We love you. We will see you next week, Psychos, where we talk about season 5, episode 5, Sean and Gus in drag. Racing. As always, don't forget to follow us on our Instagram at The Psychologists Are In and our Twitter at Psychologist Pod. Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/psychologistsarein for full videos and a chance to be on the podcast. And Motor City, get your tickets. It's like right now. Help us podcast the shit out of it, please.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.